This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
E te ti, e te ta, tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai ki Plains FM.
Tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai haere mai ki So Many Stories, brought to you by Ngā Kite Wānanga o Ōtautahi, Christchurch City Libraries. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Namita.
And this episode is all about he tangata, the people of Ōtautahi, Christchurch.
Exactly. We have some special dates to celebrate this March. International Women's Day on the 8th, Ōtautahi Pride Week from the 10th through to the 19th, Nowruz or Persian New Year on the 21st. And we thought that the common thread across these celebrations is quite simply the diversity and the achievements of all the people for whom Ōtautahi is home.
That's right. So in this episode, you will hear a little about each of those celebrations. You'll also hear about other complimentary events and exhibitions happening across the Christchurch City Libraries network this month, from Neurodiversity Celebration Week to Humans of Ōtautahi Christchurch to the upcoming Ukrainian Traditions Fundraising Festival. This episode is brimming with personality, to say the least, so let's get stuck in. First up, it's digital curation librarian Sarah Snelling with a little on our digital repository Canterbury Stories and International Women's Day. After Sarah, you'll hear from Kia Ora Academy Director Hiro Modaris, who introduces us to Nowruz, or Persian New Year. Ngā mihi, Sarah and Hiro.
Hi, my name's Sarah Snelling. I'm the digital curation librarian with the digital content team at Christchurch City Library. So I work with digital images in our digital heritage area, working with exhibitions and with Discovery Wall and Canterbury Stories. So I've been with libraries just over 6 years now. So I moved back to Christchurch to take the position. It was a newly created position with the increase in digital heritage content that the library was collecting. So I've actually curated a set and will be as an exhibition around some of the network libraries. So if you go to the homepage on Canterbury Stories, the International Women's Day set will be sitting there, and so you can explore that further. And I have, as part of that, found a photo from International Women's Day in 1990. In Cathedral Square, there are some women sitting on the godly statue with a placard saying, "Where are the statues of famous women?" So that's quite interesting. But yeah, our collection goes back to having a postcard sent from Kate Shepherd to Eliza Wallace saying that I'm going to attend a national convention of women workers in London this week to agitate for the franchise. It's quite a wide variety. So from the 90s, an actual photo from International Women's Day to Kate Shepherd from 1890 something, and also from around the 1890s, 1900, women in sport and sort of what they're allowed to wear and very limited sports that they're actually allowed to play. You know, turn of the century when they're playing golf and tennis, it's still pretty much, you know, full-length skirts. And then a bit later on, they're still wearing skirts. They're a bit easier to move in, but still fairly long compared to our, you know, current standards. And we've also even got photos of women's bowls. So, you know, older ladies, and they're still measuring how long the skirts are. And I mean, they weren't short, they were below the knee. It's like, okay. So our collection's quite wide and varying and showing what the achievements of women and what they can do. And we've also got images from the 60s and 70s women's movements. So those are sort of a bit more controversial as well, with things like protesting beauty pageants, which I always find quite interesting. I am quite interested, especially around the sort of 60s, 70s movements as well, and even the more recent things, you know, the Me Too movement and actually equality and equity and that kind of stuff, and getting those contemporary stories in as well, which is part of what we do, is get a contemporary and more recent history to get that into the collection for the future as well.
If people who were listening say they thought they might have things that were relevant to you, would you like them to get in touch? Would you like them to make that stuff available? What would happen to it?
Definitely. So they can contribute it themselves through the Discovery Wall at discoverywall.nz. So if they've got them already digitized and, you know, just a few things to send through, or they can email us on library.accc.gov.nz and just sort of have a little blurb about what it is that they've got, and then we can get in contact with them and go from there. Because, I mean, if they've got a large collection or if it's not digitized, then we can talk them through what the next steps could be. So my role is to highlight the collection and get it out there. So highlighting it through exhibitions that are on screens throughout the network and through the sets and screens online as well. So pretty much I have an interest in pretty much anything with everything and just trying to get it out there and collect more things as well. Always more stories is great.
So my name is Hiro Mudaris. I'm Iranian. I'm originally Iranian Kurdish. And so I'm director of Canterbury Cura Academy. So the Cura Academy has different departments. It's a charity trust with different departments and trying to cover different activities for most of the communities as much as we can. And so we have a health and sport department. So we are running lots of activities for ladies, for youth, and also in general for everyone. We have a few events running in the Tauranga Library and also in Upper Egerton Library. So we try to have this play table for our New Year, which we call it Nowruz. So basically Nowruz is sometimes called Persian New Year in English. And Nowruz usually is 20 or 21st of March, which is this year is 21st of March. And the meaning of Nowruz basically is the New Year in Persian language. It's an ancient celebration more than 3,000 years old. Nowruz is celebrating all over the world, but especially in countries like Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Kurdistan, Turkey, India, Bangladesh, and some parts of the Pakistan as well. It is a long festival, and it lasts for 13 days. And yeah, basically people do the cleaning, the house cleaning and decorating their house and preparing different foods and wearing their new clothes for the New Year, for the Nowruz. Regarding the food, so we have a special food, which is fish with rice. We call it sabzi pulao or mahi, which is fish and rice. And it's not fish and chips. And then also we have kuku sabzi as well. So this is the special food for that night, for the Nowruz night. And we try to catch up with the friends. Unfortunately, some of us, we don't have family over here, but we just catch up with the friends and try to spend time and just have fun. We are planning to have to set up our display table for Nowruz on Tauranga Library start from 12th of March, and they will be there. I mean, the Hafsin table, the display table will be there until 26th of March. And in Upper Egerton Library, the display table will be there from 18th of March until 26th. And people just feel free to go and have a look and take photos.
Thanks, Sarah and Hiro. Next, we will hear from Youth Library Liaison Lara Moses and Youth Librarian Alice McClay about how Christchurch City Libraries will be celebrating Christchurch Pride Week starting on the 10th of March. Also starting on the 10th of March is Neurodiversity Celebration Week. So we will hear from clinical psychologist and family therapist Dr. Anik Jansen about her work for the Positive Parenting Workshops and also a very special exhibition that we will be hosting by her son Yaniv called the Colour Me Happy Exhibition and his following workshop.
Kia ora, my name is Lara and I'm the youth liaison at Tauranga, which is the central library. And we're here to talk about Pride. I'm here with my beautiful friend, Alice.
Oh, hi, it's me, Lara's beautiful friend. So my name is Alice, and I am a youth librarian, also working at Tauranga, our central library, with Lara.
We're just here to talk about Christchurch Pride, which is running from the 10th to the 19th of March. It's such a great time of celebration for the community, really. We've got lots of events running at the library. We just thought that we'd run some things for younger people because so much of Pride centers around drinking events. So this is a great way for younger rainbow people and allies to celebrate and show their pride. And it's free. Alice, did you want to tell us a little bit about the awesome activities that we have planned for Pride?
I'm so ready for this, Lara. I'm really excited. One of the kind of like, I want to say like showcase, like center stage events that we're having this year at Pride, we're going to have Queens Telling Stories here at Tauranga. That'll be on Sunday the 12th of March at 10:30. So if you haven't already planned what you're doing Sunday morning, get down here.
It's such a good show. And come meet the Queens.
We're going to have the divine Joanne Nielsen and Little Miss Cinnamon reading us some fun Dementor stories. Those of you that like to check things out online, I would suggest kind of zipping past Christchurch Pride's website or their Facebook page. They've got all of our events up there loud and bright. If you are listening to this podcast through our website, you'll be able to navigate away to our events page, check out the Pride events. They're all grouped together, nice and easy to spot. There's book club parties, there's Beat Saber, there's creative events, there's maker spaces. Like Lara said, these events are all free. And there's a focus on our tamariki and rangatahi. So our young people, they get a chance to come and hang out at the library, make some new friends, make some cool things, just get amongst it, really.
It's going to be great.
Rolling back to what Lara was mentioning before, how one of the big things that we're really enjoying about Christchurch Pride at the libraries is that real range of diverse representation in our events. I just wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, we're doing this outside of Pride as well. All year round, if you pop into any of our libraries, you'll be able to find our Rainbow Reading recommendation list for rangatahi. That's gotten a wee refresh, so next time you're calling past your local library, see if you can jump in and grab yourself the new 2023 version. On those reading lists are a list of authors with diverse identities that write from so many different rainbow perspectives. If you're a digital kind of person, you can get at these online on our website. Before I forget, there's more than just a book list. We've got a whole LGBTQIA plus landing slash feature page. It's one of those kind of resources that's just there, really easy to access, and it kind of gives you a whole lot of different like departure points for if you want to have a rainbow experience at the libraries. This is what you can do. We've got librarian developed lists of various kind of like themes, topics, authors, like you name it, it's on those lists, and quick links to any of our events. And also on this page, we've just got a couple of really handy resources, such as like a list of local rainbow organisations.
Yeah, from all around Christchurch, yeah. All around Canterbury. And the good thing about my role is that I get to sort of plan really cool things with these external organisations because I am the liaison, so I'm not always in the library. If you want a recommendation, you can always come talk to me about that, and I can link you in with one of these external organisations because that's my job. I'm a youth worker. And I think that's just the power of being this beautiful community space, is that our collections are reflections on who we are as a people, who Canterbury is. They're diverse. We've got rainbow people, we've got all sorts of people from different places, and we want to reflect all of that in our collection and in all of the programs that we run and all of the sort of external agencies that we link into. And that's one of the best things about my job, is that I get to do that. We're really excited to see you during Pride Week. I will probably have rainbow leggings on. Come find one of us, come along to one of our amazing events, and we'll see you there.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. So I was trained as a clinical psychologist, and I specialized in the area of disability, of which neurodiversity is a subsection. I did that after my studies in psychology. And when my children were born, my last child was actually on the spectrum. So that provided me with an interesting double, both lifetime experience, which we sometimes call lived experience, my professional knowledge. And I got to say, in many cases, my son taught me a lot more about neurodiversity than any books or articles, because you have to go through it and you have to parent the child and also, you know, make sure that the child gets the best opportunity in life, which became my passion.
During our week here at the library, we will be having the Colour Me Happy workshops. How have they come about, and what can we expect in those?
Yeah, so Yaniv uses a palette that is very bright, and people say that when they look at his paintings, they make them feel happy. So that was one starting point. The second point was that he represented New Zealand at the United Nations, and he was invited by Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade to have a solo exhibition at the United Nations for the week of the meetings for the rights of the people with disability. And so when some of this work was exhibited, people were so engaging in the exhibition that Yaniv had the idea to develop a resource to go with it, to help people find out about their ideas about how to create more well-being for themselves. So Colour Me Happy has five chapters. They belong to the acronym PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. P for positive emotions, E for engagement, what engages us in life, what gives us flow and the experience of being involved in something that we really, truly like, and we sometimes lose track of time. for relationships, because we are very dependent on people's relation, the relationship that we have with each other, mm-hmm. and that we can develop them further to feel more well-being. The M is for meaning or purpose. So my purpose in life, so I can say my purpose in life is to talk to other parents who have children with a range of abilities, to share my experience with them, but also to show them that there's many ways that they can help their children develop their strengths. And finally, the A of PERMA is achievement, which is to do with the goals that we have in life, setting goals and achieving goals and being on a constant and on a journey of becoming a better self. Mm. So that the workshop called Color Me Happy has focus on these five themes. So, and then there's going to be another event, going to be a talk that I will give to parents. So I'm very, very excited to meet other parents to share experiences. Research has shown that parents learn best from each other. Please, if you hear this, do come. Let's talk. Let's see how we can get some new ideas about creating the progress you want for your child.
Thanks, Lara, Alice and Anique. Bringing together all the diversity of He Tangata, the people of Ōtautahi Christchurch, is the Humans of Ōtautahi Christchurch exhibition, which started this past December in Te Pito Huarewa, South Base Gallery, on Tuakiri, or the Identity Level, Level 2, at Tūranga Central Library. That exhibition actually comes to a close on Sunday the 12th of March. But to give you a taste of the exhibition, here's Humans of Ōtautahi Christchurch storyteller Sarah Mankalo, and also human Sophie Alstob-Gradwell.
Kia ora, my name is Sarah, and I'm a storyteller for Humans of Christchurch Ōtautahi. Humans of Christchurch Ōtautahi is a storytelling project. It's about creating connections and community through the art of storytelling. We grab everyday people of our beautiful city and talk to them, chat to them, take their photo and share their story and hopefully create connect through shared experiences. So the project started about 5 years ago. There's a team up in Auckland that wanted to create Humans of projects all around New Zealand, and they came down and they ran workshops in a number of places, and they ran a workshop here in Christchurch, and from that there were a couple of keen people that were enthusiastic about keeping the project going. So there's a Humans of South Auckland, and there was a Humans of Kaitaia, hopefully I'm not sure if they're still going, and then there's us. Obviously the idea is not original. There was a photographer that started in New York, Humans of New York, but it has spread around the world. It's such an amazing platform and easy way to create connections through storytelling. And there's some really awesome pages that you can explore and share. I follow Humans of Bombay, Humans of St. Louis, Humans of Amsterdam. I mean, this is the thing, eh? There's humans everywhere across the globe and we all have things in common, and that's what this project does. It's quite funny actually, because we recently ran some workshops which were called Write Like a Human, but really I wouldn't describe myself as a writer in this project. I'm more the gatherer of the story and then edit it down to be able to deliver a short story, because when you chat to someone, obviously, and we do it in a real casual way, people will share and bring thoughts and ideas to a conversation, and they may be scattered all over the place throughout the conversation. So all I do after we've talked is kind of match the pieces of jigsaw together to create one whole story. So the Humans project, we did an exhibition in 2019 with the libraries. It was part of Heritage Festival, actually, and that's how we kind of got connected. And that was in 2019, which is when I first joined. And so I was lucky enough to join the project just before that exhibition. And it was just so overwhelming, I guess, the feeling in the room. So what we did, it was just an evening event, and we brought humans that had been interviewed all together and had them in one space. We had three humans share their story, and then there was just a chance to connect and network. And oh my gosh, it was just such a wonderful experience. But we only did it for one night, and we said then, why? Why did we only do this for one night? So we've been kind of ticking away of the idea of running an exhibition for a longer period for some time, and through that connection at Tūranga, through that first event, we were having conversations with them about making that happen, and we couldn't have done it without their support. It's been absolutely amazing. So we have a website, and we also publish the stories on Facebook and Instagram. We do try to get a story a week, but we're all volunteers, so sometimes we don't quite meet our own challenges. So yeah, the Facebook's probably the biggest platform. We also publish once a week on the back page of Avenues magazine. Some people think they live ordinary lives, but yeah, I think everyone's got an amazing story inside them. On our website, you can nominate others or yourself to tell your story, and we're always open to chat.
I am Sophie. I have been living in Ototahi for the last 5 years. I originally came to Christchurch to study at the University of Canterbury in health science, public health, and health education. And the reasons why I studied those things is because when I was 15, I was diagnosed with a chronic health condition and was pretty much told that I will never walk again, I will never be able to work, go to school, do anything like that. And I decided that that experience wasn't amazing, and if it has happened to me, I can guarantee you there's other people out there that have had that. So I wanted to make a difference. If it wasn't just for one, then hopefully more than one. So I studied and I graduated at the end of 2020. I then applied for 70 jobs and was rejected by all of them. Post-COVID environment, well, it was still current. Little did we know it was still current back then. Current COVID environment, newly graduated. I was proud of a health condition, and that just meant that the jobs that were available just, they didn't have the capacity to support someone with additional needs, but also they needed people with experience because the world was in crisis. Fortunately though, I got asked to do an internship for 6 weeks at Whānau Whānaukē, which is a social enterprise that supports whānau to thrive in a kaupapa Māori way. And it started at 6 weeks, and then the internship became a year, and now 2.5 years later I'm still here, which is amazing. What I understand of Humans of Ototahi is it is a take on the Humans of New York. So it's an opportunity for some creative minds to do some storytelling and actually get to see the people of Ototahi being able to tell their stories. And it's a lot around don't ever judge a book by its cover. How I became involved in the Humans of Ototahi was actually a part of a mental health awareness campaign. So in September, not last year, the year before, we were asked by Humans of Ototahi if we would be interested in doing a, have a few of us tell a bit of our stories as a part of this campaign to spread awareness of mental health, especially in the rangatahi lens. And it came from the fact that we had this raw group, Rangatahi Ora Activity Rōpū, which essentially means that there was a group of rangatahi, 12 to 23 at the time, who were coming together and meeting to see how we could be the voices for other youth in the community to find ways for fun and activity. I hadn't known half of the stories that came out on the day, which was beautiful for me. But yeah, it was just the perfect example of we're all human. We all have our own story. Often we don't tell that story to our peers. But this, by working with Humans of Ototahi, we had the chance to share our journey as a young person. For myself, it was very terrifying because I'd only come out as a proud person with a disability in the last 18 months, really. But I hadn't actually gone into depth of the whakapapa of that for me. So it was a big process for me having to share this story and what I was able to share, because it's only a very few words that you get the chance to share. But what I got out of that opportunity was the 7 other rangatahi that spoke that day. Not all of their stories got shared because they weren't ready for that. And that's Katie Pyatt. It takes time. But I learned so much from them. And I had this one young person reach out to me afterwards, and she said, thank you so much for sharing your story, because it made me not feel alone in that. Sorry, I know I'm getting emotional, but that's the whole reason why I do the stuff that I do. So the Humans of Ototahi are hosting, or are partnering with others to host, an International Women's Day event where there is 3 guest speakers. One is me, which I still don't understand why, but essentially we are having a kōrero at the library in the city, and we are getting together to share our stories. Mine will be slightly revised because a lot has changed in 2 years for me. I can't wait.
Thanks, Sarah and Sophie. Finally, we will now hear from the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand South Island committee member Michael Lidsky about a very special fundraising event that will be happening at Tūranga, our central library, on Saturday the 11th of March.
Hi, my name is Michael Lidsky and I was the first president-elect of the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand South Island. But now I'm not one anymore because we had elections since and someone else was elected. So I'm just the community member. Now we are talking about the fundraiser event, which is called Ukrainian Traditions Festival, and it's going to take place on the 11th of March in the Tūranga Central Library, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning. This was initiated by a group of Kiwi volunteers of different ethnicities and nationalities. What they have in common is they see the war in Ukraine as the fight between good and evil, the fight between darkness and light, if you wish, and they're seeking the support of all the people for Ukraine in its fight against the darkness. People who would attend the festival would be able to take part in it. So when they come, they'll be able to see, there'll be just posters with general information about Ukraine, about Ukrainian traditions. There'll be some photos, so people will be able to see Ukrainian traditional costumes. There'll be the photo zone and the opportunity to take pictures in those. Easter eggs engraving by an artist are displayed by Ukrainian artists. And that's going to take part from 11:30 till 12:30. Then the Ukrainian national anthem will be performed in Ukrainian by the Krasnoyarsk City Choir. What's very important is also that there will be a tribute to the Ukrainian victims of the war, including two Kiwis, including one of them actually from Krasnoyarsk. And that again will be performed by the Krasnoyarsk City Choir. There will be a presentation of origins, history of Ukrainian traditions, Ukrainian folk song presentation, the local group singing folk songs, presentation of Ukrainian Cossack dance, folk dance. Then there'll be a lunch break, and that'll take place from 12 to 12:30 roughly, during which Ukrainian national food should be served, which proved hugely popular at our previous events, which is borscht, rice, desserts, etc. And the music will be played, and then there'll be the second part, and there'll be workshops and dancing class. So all the people who would be attending would actually be able to try doing it all, you know, with their own hands. There'll be the Mavenka Dolls Making Workshop. There'll be a workshop in making soap in Ukrainian national colors. And there'll be quite a bit organized for kids. So everybody's welcome with kids. They will be entertained. They will not be bored.
Kia ora, Michael. And thank you to all of our guests. For more on Canterbury Stories, Nowruge at Tūranga and Upper Riccarton Libraries, Pride Week, Neurodiversity Celebration Week, Humans of Ōtautahi Christchurch, and the Ukrainian Traditions Fundraising Festival, head to our website, christchurchcitylibraries.com, or you can call our fingertip library team on 03 941 7923.
Before we go, there's a couple more events coming up around our Christchurch City Library network. One of these special events is Celebrate France at South Library in association with Alliance Francaise Christchurch. This starts from Saturday the 4th of March and it will run until Sunday the 26th of March with a range of activities and events for the whole family. Another event to keep an eye out for is the Japanese Culture Celebration at Te Hapua Horsall Centre. These events will run from Thursday the 2nd of March to Sunday the 12th of March.
And beyond those events, we also have some annual favourites to look out for. On Friday the 24th of March from 9am to 7pm and Saturday the 25th of March from 9am to 4pm, it's the annual Christchurch City Library's book sale. That takes place at Pioneer Recreation and Sports Centre in Summerfield. Do not miss it. Also, the Hell Pizza Reading Challenge is coming up later this month. Registrations open on Monday the 13th of March, so that's just to say that you can keep an eye out for those Hell Pizza reading wheels at a library near you.
And finally, before we go, we have fresh off the press our quarterly What's On in the Libraries magazine. So this is our autumn edition that covers all of these events and much more regular programs that you can take part in between March, April and May. So keep an eye out for our What's On magazine. Also, remember to check out our website, christchurchcitylibraries.com, or call our fingertip library on 03 941 7923. Our next episode will be on Friday, the 2nd of April. Ka kite anō.